This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Tim Slecker. One educated educator talking education. However, though, we always have guests and Evan is there. Johnny, it is it's that night again, Evan, where Johnny has to do the thing with his daughter. And so, Johnny, have fun. Make sure you're doing your best being a parent and being at that school. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Last week, we had the opportunity to talk to the dean of the College of Education at Austin Peay State University in Tennessee regarding a pathway to becoming a teacher. We were wondering whether this might be, quote, an answer to the teacher shortage. Is this an opportunity for us to move in a new direction? And I think, as I told the listeners, I was actually headed down to Tennessee. And I actually, after the show was over last Tuesday night, got in my car and drove down to Tennessee to see what was actually going down in Tennessee on the ground, checking it out, making sure, let me see, what's up with all this? And during that time there, I got this, you know, got the opportunity to meet lots of people at the college level, people at the district level, teachers, and more importantly, apprentices or residents. And tonight, we get our guest, Jermaine Purdy, Army officer, now becoming a teacher, going through the apprenticeship residency program in Tennessee. Jermaine, welcome to Busted Pencils. How you doing, my friend?
Thank you. Good evening. I'm doing well.
All right. So here's the deal, right? You're in the Army, and I kind of phrase this like this. Okay. First of all, you did your service. You did great time. You know, you're an officer. You get out, and why become a teacher? What was it? Before we get into the nitty gritty of the apprenticeship and the residency, just for you, after serving 11 years as an officer in the Army, what makes you decide, you know what, I think I want to go and become a teacher?
Right. So it basically, the Army, I got a chance to train a lot of people. And one of my last assignments was a basic training commander. So I saw kids coming straight out of high school, straight out of college, coming into my ranks. And I got to train them and see how they were, see who they were and how they reacted and acted and everything. And I enjoyed the interactions with the trainees, and I enjoyed seeing them learn. And I also saw where things were lacking in trainings. So it was like, there's a plug or there's a gap that I can fill on the outside of the military. So when I finally got my chance, I got out the military. You know, I tried a few of those since I was an officer, give me a manager position, try to make the big money. But that wasn't job satisfaction for myself.
I remember you talking about that last week. You're like, okay, yeah. I'm going to get out of the Army. I'm an officer, man. I'm going to make some money.
Oh, yeah. That's the dream.
That's the dream. Yeah. And so, and somehow that dream was going to be a manager was going to make you lots of money.
Oh, yeah. I was going to be a manager, work my way up wherever I was at. I was just going to do it. I was going to run the show, run things.
Okay.
But, you know, being in charge isn't always that fun. So it was, you know, I'm in there managing and doing a good job, doing everything I want to do, but it just wasn't that the cash, the money wasn't that job satisfaction for myself. So I had to find something different.
So you find, you know, but again, you know, I get the part where you're talking about, you know, being, you are a leader, you're working with, you know, 18-year-olds as they're coming into basic training, you're seeing the, you know, the, either how well educated or even potentially, I think I heard you say, maybe even being concerned that they weren't educated up to a level potentially that you would have liked to have seen them. Is that part then, just playing on that? So you see and say, I think I could help future people become better educated?
Right. So when I was in that position, you could see where trainees were lacking, you know, because I looked at basic training as a chance to show what you, you know, what you've been doing for the last 18 years, what you've been doing for the last 20 years. Now it's time to show, put it to work and move on up in the ranks. So I could see where, you know, trainees were lacking. And I said, OK, I could fit there and we could fix this before you even get to the next level.
And all of a sudden you're like, OK, if that managing job, you know, I like what you not like what you said, but, you know, whether about the money, but you're saying job satisfaction. So you got a job satisfaction issue. You kind of look back at, you know, your experience there being an officer in the Army. And is that how it then kind of comes together and says, wait a minute, I want to do something, you know, and but like what takes you into the classroom? What pivots you and says, I want to be a teacher.
Right. So it was that whole training aspect where I could see myself teaching and I could see my drill sergeants teaching and educating these kids on how to be a soldier. I said, hey, I like that. And that's where I said, when I was a manager, I went ahead and started substitute teaching because I was doing my job from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was one of those kind of managers. Mm-hmm. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I had off. So I started substitute teaching and seeing, like, I went to the elementary level, went to the middle school, high school, just seeing where I think I could fit in.
Okay, so there's the that kind of point, that entry point where it's like, okay, I got these thoughts, got these ideas. I could see myself being of use, but during the week you take on that substitute teaching. And a lot of people, a lot of states, especially with the teaching shortage, you know, having an Army officer, somebody like you, the fact that you were willing to step in there and be a substitute teacher was probably something the district was like, okay, we got to take advantage of that. And there you are. And is it, you know, so as a substitute teacher then, because again, keep working you up to where we're getting to where you are.
Right.
Do you look at little kids? Do you look at middle school? Do you look at those high school kids? I mean, where do you start going? Because I like this idea that you're a substitute teacher kind of looking at it. But as you spend this time, does anything start to pop and where you go, okay, I could see myself doing this?
Right. So just going to the different schools and everything, I saw where people that looked like me, you know, kids that looked like me, acted like me, came from where I came from, where I wouldn't say necessarily neglected, but were treated differently than kids that looked like basically every other teacher in the school system. Because, you know, as you know, the school system is made up of white females. And I saw a difference in the way kids were being treated. And I thought I could bring my experience, my background, and not only educate kids, but educate other teachers around me saying, hey, these are the backgrounds that we need to be aware of. Because even in the military, you have to know different backgrounds. You have to know how people think. And bringing that experience into the education world, it was just another avenue for me, not only to teach the kids, but to give those teachers that experience so they could better deal with every type of student.
So, you know, so you say, look like you, white teachers, you're an African-American male.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so, you know, this experience, because when you talked about this last week in Tennessee, that was kind of like one of these moments where you go, ah, okay. So you then as a substitute teacher got to see profession largely dominated by, you know, white people, and in schools though, where students are, you know, diverse backgrounds, diverse ethnicities, and they're there, and the potential that you might bring a sense of saying, I know these kids used to be me. Maybe the way you're approaching them, not that it's quote wrong, but maybe you're not understanding who they are. And so that's what leads you to start going, okay, wait a minute, I want to be more than a substitute teacher.
Right. So, I mean, just because a place is dominated, because the Army is dominated by males. So working, you know, it's just, I went to the education system is dominated by white females, which is finally okay, because if they're the ones to answer the call, they're the ones to answer the call. And I'm going to answer the call as well, because I saw where I could fit in and say, hey, these are the experiences, these are the backgrounds. Let's all get together and mold this thing into a great thing. So yeah, that's basically where I saw I could fit in. And middle school was kind of a transitional phase, in my opinion, it's a great transitional phase for children. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, you are. I mean, you're in a middle school, and I said, oh my goodness, those kids. I did okay with second graders. I love fifth graders, man. Give me some seventh and eighth graders and watch out, man. I was going home. It was a bad night almost every night. But I mean, there you are. You're there. Okay. Now the question though is, did you know how that was going to happen? Like you know, how you make the decision and go, I want to do this. Then you make that step of going, okay, but how do I do this? How does it happen?
Just
give us a taste right before the break.
Right. I had no clue how I was going to do it. I looked up what the Army had available. It had troops to teachers. It had things like that. But they were, from what I saw, was very intense. It was something that I did not want to do while I was still maintaining a job. So it was almost a lost cause for me. So I kind of pulled back a little because I did not know how I was going to try to get into that field, you know, go right back to school, get a master's degree. It's just one of those things that was up in the air. I did not know how I was going to complete it.
How do you do that? So there it is. Our guest tonight, Jermaine Purdy. He is a middle school resident apprentice in Tennessee. He is on his way to becoming a teacher. It is Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. If you want to join us, the number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We're talking about this idea of wanting to become a teacher. How do we get there and the pathways that are open? So, you know, Jermaine comes out of the Army. He's a successful officer. He's out there and it's like, whoa, I think I might want to give back a little bit. And he's out in the schools, does some substitute teaching, sees that substitute working. And then it's like, okay, how do I get there? How do I become a teacher? Oh, there, we talked about it last week. Resident apprenticeship, the pathway. Oh my God, there are pathways for somebody like Jermaine to actually do this. When we get back, we're going to dig deep into the Tennessee apprenticeship residency model. Our guest, Jermaine Purdy, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, back after the break. What we do here every Tuesday, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. We never back down, especially when it comes to awesome teachers. Busted Pencils, educated educators talking education. Our guest tonight, Jermaine Purdy, he is in Tennessee. He did the time in the Army, became an officer, did his country, served the country well, decided to come out, make some big money as a manager, but whoa, check it out, man. I'm going to do some substitute teaching. Hey, I think I might make this something I really, really want to do. However, how does that happen? How do we do it? Jermaine, so, and that's what we were talking about, and we've been talking about this show, though. Somebody like you, the idea that you can be there, you represent the students, you have the diversity, you can come from their background, you bring this idea of saying, I think I can make a difference, I think I can make things better. It's the question for anybody, though, is, okay, how do you do that? And we said before the break, that was a big question for you. You're like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do this, though, because, you know, I can be a substitute teacher, but no, I want to be a licensed teacher. And actually, though, Tennessee decided in a way to say, Jermaine, we do want you to be a teacher, and here's the pathway. Tell us about the pathway that you're on to becoming a teacher in Tennessee.
Well, the pathway I am on is I am a teacher resident for middle school English.
Okay.
I will work as a educational assistant slash teacher resident for my first year in the middle school system, or in the middle school, excuse me. And I will work under a mentor teacher. And then my second year, I will be a teacher of record. And the whole time while I'm first year, second year, I'll be a student at Lipscomb University, earning my master's degree as well as my certification and ELL as well.
Okay, so you're working. So this is that concept where, you know, I talked about with the dean from Austin Peay State University, this apprenticeship residency. So right now, then, what it is you're hired by the Clarksville Montgomery County school system, middle school that you're at. You're hired there to work full time as a paraprofessional. So you're right there every day, all day?
Yes, sir.
Every day. And then you're also currently enrolled in a master's degree teacher licensing program at Lipscomb University.
Yes, sir.
How do you pay for all that?
I do not pay for it.
Wait, what? Wait. All right, give us a little. You don't pay for it? How does that work?
No, sir. That's Lipscomb and my school district coming together saying, hey, let's grow your own. That's the name of the program. So let's grow your own. Let's do, what can we do to get more teachers into the system? And they decided to come together and make it happen.
Cool. So the idea, and is that that's what did it, you know, we talked to apprentice. And so in this model here, what's happening then, just a refresher for the listener, how does Jermaine get to become the teacher at no cost to him? And we talked about this last week. Well, there is a cost to the institution and the school district, but the idea is to say, we've got this wonderful human being, Jermaine, who wants to become a teacher. Let's provide the means and the opportunity and the pathway. And so there's a tuition thing. But the idea here, though, in the Grow Your Own, you're currently working full time at the middle school as a paraprofessional. Now, when you're done, so you're getting a salary for that while you're doing that. Your classes are taken care of through this resident apprenticeship agreement that you've got into. And then as you move, throughout this year, you're also the working with like the best teachers in this middle school as your mentor teachers.
Yes, I also want to say my books are paid for as well. Okay. But yes, my mentor teacher is, she's the best out there. I'm not sure how they did the interview to get that mentor teacher, but I have definitely picked the card where I got the best one. So she sits with me. She tells me what she's doing, how she's doing it. And then we get together and she said, hey, let's plan this. And she's always about ideas and she's always communicating with me to further me along, as well as my principal. She's open to me or keeping me as a teacher resident rather than trying to parcel me out, be a substitute teacher when a teacher goes away. She says, hey, let's protect this teacher residency time as much as we can so he can do what he needs to do to become a teacher.
How, it sounds really intense though when I think about it, because you're working on a master's degree, obviously not during the day because you're working Monday through Friday full time at the school as a paraprofessional, also learning to be a teacher, and you're taking your classes, I assume, at night.
Yes, sir. During the summer, we took two classes. Okay. And that was pretty much the whole summer. And that was Tuesdays and Thursdays at night. And during the school year for the first term in the fall, we have one class, and that's Thursday nights. And when you're not in class, it's an accelerated class. So you're doing all the reading, you're doing all the papers, you're doing all the things that's necessary to pass that class in your 8 weeks, and you're accelerated.
It's pretty intense then.
Yes, sir.
Is this really doable though? I mean, the idea in one sense, it's like, okay, yeah, we've got you. You want to become a teacher. We've provided a pathway. It's not, we've taken care of the financial situation, but haven't we set you up for failure in such an intense program that you're working full time, going to school full time? I mean, how does that, You know, how I just want to know, you know, do you feel like you're on a razor's edge all the time, man?
Well, no, it's definitely doable.
Okay.
Just because what my school district has put in for resources, I have a liaison. If I need any help or just all the way lost, he was a teacher. He was this, that, and the other. So he knows what's going on. So if I have any questions, I can go to him. And Lipscomb University, they provide resources as well. As in, I have one professor, she said, if you need study sessions for the praxis, I'm the one, and we set up times to do study sessions so we can make sure we pass our praxis. And as well as the instructor, the other professors that we work with, they all know.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education Tuesday night. Back from Tennessee last week, we talked to the dean at Austin Peay State University about the registered apprenticeship, a pathway to becoming a teacher, where those who want to become a teacher get to work in the school district full time as a paraprofessional, learning to be a teacher while also at night and in summers taking classes to earn that certification. In that, we have this week one of those residents, Jermaine Purdy, 11 years in the Army, Army officer, comes out, says, you know what, I think I want to make some big money. Does that on the weekends and starts doing some substitute teaching. You're like, you know what? I think actually I want to teach. And say, but how? Well, the registered apprenticeship, the residency program in Tennessee, Jermaine is in a middle school now. Jermaine, you were talking about this. And so you are working full time as a paraprofessional, also learning to be a teacher, working with a mentor teacher, a great principal. You're taking classes at night and in summers to get this done. We were talking before the break, going like, that's a really intense. And, you know, how is it that, you know, okay, great, the money's there. You know, you're getting paid. You're also not paying for your classes. But it still doesn't take away the fact that you're working full time all day long and going to school at nights and in the summers. You started talking about like supports that are there. Tell us a little bit more. Remind the audience if they're just joining us. You know, what are the supports that are in place for somebody like you?
Right. So my school district, they support with they have a liaison that he is strictly for us. And went gave us a phone number and gave us an email, and we contact him whenever we need help. And he has also been through a program, and he's also been a teacher, so he knows the ins and outs of what's everything going on. As well as Lipscomb University, they have the support where when it comes to the praxis, they there's a professor that said, hey, we're going to do study sessions and we're going to help you out there. And the actual professor that I'm learning under right now said, hey, whenever you need, you know, they understand that we are working people, still need to take care of a family, still need to make money so we can take care of that family. And time is limited for us. So they understand, hey, let's do this on your time, but let's get it done also. And the CMCSS and Lipscomb, they also provide financial support when, you know, if things happen during the time when you're in the program and it's just one of those things that you cannot take care of, you can always apply for this financial support and maybe they help you and maybe that will keep you in the program.
Yeah. So, in fact, they tell, you know, you and I were talking off break about, you know, the situation that actually was talked about when I was down there, the fact that, okay, and this is because of the federal registration as a nationally registered apprenticeship, right. This ability then, because the program that you're in Tennessee is a registered apprenticeship, that the access to other financial situations. And so as one of your peers down there working as a resident, their car broke down. And, you know, and we say this so much in teacher education, this thing, it's like, you know, our students sometimes are a flat tire away from dropping out. And there it was, her car broke down. But because of the registered apprenticeship, they were able to access funds to actually have her car fixed and paid for to keep her in the program. You think about that. How many, I mean, like, this is a commitment to you to hear that people are investing this much in you. Have you thought about it from that point of view? Like what people are saying, Jermaine, you know what? We're investing in you, man.
Right. I definitely thought about it. That's one of the things that when you do, because you will feel like quitting every once in a while, when because it is a stressor. It's a stressor. So you will feel like, man, can I do this? You got to think you have been invested in. It shows that you have been invested in from the very beginning of my application process. You could tell that they're invested in this program. They're invested in you and they want you there. So they put all these resources in place so that they can keep you there and get you to where you need to be. So I'm very fortunate to be a part of the program.
All right. So there you are. So you're now in this. So you just started this summer then.
Yes.
What you're saying. And so now here we are coming into, you know, end of September, beginning of October. So you've been a resident at the Clarksville-Montgomery County Middle School that you're at for how many weeks?
School started in August. So probably about 4 weeks, about a month. Well,
we're coming a bit longer.
9 weeks. Yeah, because we're coming up on 9 weeks because the report cards come out in a week or two.
Okay.
So it's been about 7-8 weeks.
Man, you're a quarter of the way done.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, man, look at that. You counted it down. I mean, how's it going? Where highlights, awesome moments? What's it like doing 9 weeks as a full-time resident in a middle school, man, after spending 11 years in the Army?
Oh, well, it's definitely an eye-opener. Kids, you know, I know everybody says it, they're not the same as they were as when we were kids. So kids are definitely more mature, I would say, from when I was in middle school. And their backstop is a lot further back than when I was a child. So the filter is a lot less filtery at this middle school level at this day and age. But it's definitely a fun time to be with, because even when they're backstop, even with all those changes, they're definitely more intelligent now as well. They've seen things. They're smarter than I was when I was a youngster. So it's definitely fun to hear kids, because I'm always asking, what kind of music do you listen to? What book are you reading? And they've suggested some great books and some great music. So
nice.
It's definitely a great thing to be a part of.
So I heard you saying, so you are in a middle school in a language arts, English. So you're teaching, is that the mentor teacher you're with? Is she teaching all English classes in middle school?
Yep, it's all English classes, eighth grade. She actually has some advanced classes as well. It's to see a regular class and an advanced class, to see the differences in how kids are thinking. You can see where you want to fit in, and you can see where what you want to give to each type of student to show them where the options are and how they can succeed and, you know, excel in the class.
Like, you just made me think about that though too. It's like, okay, when we talk about the traditional model of wanting to become a teacher, and in fact there are pathways for people to, you know, career changers after the military, or, you know what, I was a psychologist for 12 years, I think I'd want to be a teacher. We have pathways. You can do your classes and then you do, you know, a 15-week student teaching and then you move on. And here you are though, listening to you talk, I mean, you're 9 weeks in, you have three more sets of 9 weeks. Have you thought about how intensely rich your classroom experience is going to be by June when you get out?
Oh, definitely. The CMCSS, they actually have us on a program where we have milestones that we need to be reaching every so often. And with those milestones, I can see where I'm going to be at the end of this year, at the end of this school year. And it's definitely, some of them, I can't wait to get there. It's going to be fun because I'm going to be the one doing this and doing that. And then there's some like, okay, I'm a little nervous about they're going to leave me alone and they're just going to be watching and no help at all. So it's definitely, it's a challenge and it's definitely fun. It's a fun challenge, thank goodness. So I'm very excited about it.
I just think about it, you know, because I mean, my traditional program, I did, you know, 14 weeks of student teaching and then I was supposedly ready. The fact that, you know, you're going to do 36 weeks essentially of student teaching. I mean, and that's the difference of a traditional model to a residency and apprenticeship. The fact that you are fully embedded in this school from the time they started school in August until the time they're done in June. Now, when you are done in June, will you be finished and have your teaching license, or do you still have to continue going to school for the rest of the summer?
Well, this school year, they actually have a whole program. They tell me where I'm going to be, but I will not have it yet. I will still be in school for the summer and in school for when I'm a teacher on record for my second year as well. So I'll be in school the whole time. When I completely finish is when I'll have all the certifications and the master's degree.
Okay, so I was going to say, so at the completion, then when you're done, you will have a teaching license. Tell us about the teaching license you'll have.
So I'll have my regular teaching license. I'll also be in ELL, as well as my master's certification, or excuse me, my master's degree.
Academically, this is a master's degree program. So you complete a master's degree with Lipscomb University. You've got your full residency and your teaching license is going to be middle school language arts, English, and also for code word ELL, English language learners. You're actually getting another endorsement then in working with students whose language is something other than English.
That is correct.
Dude, all right, last question though. What's the commitment though from you now when this is over? What do you have?
So my commitment will be 2 years teaching in this school district. And that's great for me because that's where I plan on staying. So it's an easy OBAC for me. So when I completely finish and have all everything I need, I'll be here for 2 more years that I have to owe to the school district.
Well, I mean, there you go. 2 years, so you're going to get back. I mean, think about that, though, man. I would want to hire you, man. It's like one of these things. Like, I've seen you work with this. You know what? Hey, Jermaine, we got a caller, Tom from L.A. Tom likes to call us from L.A. every so often. Tom from L.A., you're on with Tim and Jermaine. Tom, what's happening, brother?
Hey, Tim. First off, we the people are the government, and ultimately, we must never forget that. Second, I just was wondering, and it's kind of off topic, and I don't mean to go off topic, but I'm hoping we can talk more about this. As an example with Jermaine and the union support, because I'm hearing more and more that the union, teaching union themselves, maybe because of Act 10, but also because of other issues, it's almost become like part of the privatization of schools. And I'm wondering how it is that we get rid of some of those people that are running it more like a business than like a school, even the people that are at the head of the union. Because I think it's really sad, especially some of the things I heard about in Wisconsin lately. You know, where the union is not there really supporting the teachers the way that they used to be.
Yeah, you know what, Tom, I'll probably hit that back on the second break. But, you know, what I do know about with Jermaine, the Tennessee Education Association, in fact, that their organization is fully involved with the teacher residency with Lipscomb. In fact, I'm talking about this in negotiations. You know, I think, you know, on a side note, could our unions, in fact, maybe this is the opportunity through these residencies and apprenticeships, you know, could the unions be advocating for more of these opportunities for, you know, because if we have a teaching shortage, it would surely be nice if you're in a union state that your teachers union would also step up to be a part of that solution. And, you know, looking at and saying, here it is, here's how we can do this. We could take Jermaine, you know, he's coming to us out of the Army. He's a successful officer. He's got the background of the kids. He looks like the kids. He's got a passion. He wants to do this. you know, I'd love to see the unions involved. I don't know, Jermaine, if you got, you know, something on that. I'll kind of leave that at you. I don't want to, you know, get you into any type of water, you know, where it is. No. His name, it's Jermaine Purdy. He is a resident apprentice, middle school teacher in resident. You are about to be a teacher. Jermaine, man, here's what we say on the show. Thank you for busting pencils, man.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate your time. When we get back, I'll maybe jump into Tom's question here about a union. But again, thank you, Jermaine Purdy. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, back after the break. Come in with that music. Busted Pencils,
what I do.
Fully Leaded, Education Talk. Man, I just want to keep going there, Evan. Thank you for that. Oh, man.
It's what I do.
Morello on the guitar there.
Hell of a guitar player.
Hell of a guitar player, that's for sure. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Educated Educators Talking Education. Our guest for the last 45 minutes, Jermaine Purdy, teacher resident in the Apprentice GYO program in Tennessee. Did 11 years as an Army officer, came out, decided, you know what, I think I want to become a teacher. Didn't know if there was a pathway for it, but in Tennessee, the registered apprenticeship, a teacher residency, a grow your own model. We talked about it last week, and this week we're bringing you one of those people who said, I can do this because the program provides a full-time salary as a teacher paraprofessional while you're out there. While you're a teacher paraprofessional, you're learning what it means to be a teacher for an entire year while you're doing that. And then you're taking classes at night to earn your certification and your master's degree. Great program. LA Tom jumped in talking about the unions. And Tom, I'm going to put you on there and let you jump back on. You know, Jermaine asked me about that. And I said, you know, one of the things is to say, what an awesome program for the unions to get behind the teacher residency, to this apprenticeship, and saying, because it reminds me of, you know, Karen Lewis and Chicago Teachers Union, my favorite teachers union, that she said, we always lead what's best for kids and what's best for communities. Well, I tell you what, teachers who look like the kids, who are incredibly well educated, that are prepared to be awesome teachers. I mean, how much more could that be what's best for kids and best for communities? So the teachers' unions getting behind and supporting the teacher residency, I would love to see that. Tom, I don't know if that's kind of where you were going with that, but I know I got you still on the line. Why don't you jump back on?
Well, just basically, I think it's something we need to question is the fact that have our teachers' unions kind of fallen down on the job in terms of, because of Act 10 maybe, but also that can be used as an excuse, where the people that are actually heading up the teachers' union, unfortunately, are running it almost like a big corporation, where it's more about the administrators and more about the, I guess, kind of a corporate ladder, rather than about the teachers. And I think it's something that we need to examine, and we need to look at the teachers union. Otherwise, we're going to end up losing the whole teachers union if they're just running at, you know, I have family that are educators, and, you know, they're dropping out of it. And people that supported unions for 30, you know, 40 years. And now, I mean, they just have a bad taste in their mouth with unions because they haven't been to the defense of some of the teachers when they've needed them. So I feel like there's something going on, and I just think it's something we need to address as the public, as the government, you know, to make sure that our public school system is not becoming so privatized and so non-unionized, or at least the unions are doing what they were meant there to do, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes sense. But I'm wondering, you know, if you think about this, if you listen to the show last week where we talked about the residency and the apprentice, and you listen to Jermaine, you know, what I'm wondering though, Tom, like my entry point, you know, is this, you know, one of these opportunities for the union to get behind something that's in support of future teachers and the potential of getting connected with future teachers? Does that help strengthen a new sense of unionism, particularly if the union at that point is working for them and they can see that they're working for the betterment of teachers, for the betterment of kids, for the betterment of communities?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the big things that I've always thought of is that, you know, unions are democracy in the workplace. And like I said, maybe because I've heard some stories, I was just back in Wisconsin this past weekend and haven't been there in 3 years, but I just listening to other teachers and their dissatisfaction with unions is really, really quite disheartening. Because to me, you know, the union movement was a huge, huge movement in teaching, you know, back when my dad was a teacher, you know, 40 years ago now, or 50 years ago now, you know what I mean? And it's, I just think that we need to be aware of what is going on, because otherwise, you know, if all the administration is getting what they want and the teachers are not getting what they want, and then in Wisconsin, where you don't have to pay union dues if you don't want to, you know, and then where's the protection for people that do? I mean, it's just a real, I see it as a real, real firestorm coming. And I think that, you know, but the unions need to step up, develop some new union leadership, you know, that kind of thing before we actually very much get into the model of a corporate world where, you know, the guys at the top potentially aren't teachers, you know what I mean? Or their full-time job is just like doing the union thing, and they're not doing it for the teachers.
Okay, so kind of lost. Losing a little bit of touch with that, the fact that they used to be a teacher. I don't know, Tom, L.A. Tom, I appreciate you calling, and hopefully call us back next week. Johnny will be back with us again. You know, but just to summarize here. So last week we talked to the dean at Austin Peay State University, Prentice Chandler, where they have the first registered national teacher apprenticeship. Went down there and met with Prentice, went down and met with teachers in Tennessee, went down and met with residents and apprentices, got to meet Jermaine Purdy, Army officer coming back, you know, second career, wanted to be a teacher, found a pathway, found a desire, but then found that pathway in that teacher residency, that national apprenticeship. The idea that an apprenticeship could provide the means, the opportunity, the cost, the monetary, for a desire, for a person who wants to be a teacher. And we talked about this last week. There are people who want to be a teacher. There are great people who want to be teachers. We just have to provide them those pathways into teaching. That's what we're about. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Man, can't wait to get back next week. Evan, thank you so much. L.A. Tom, thank you. Busted Pencils out.
Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
Think of your children pledging allegiance to the maple leaf.
We are one.